Hey, Hicken here. Thanks for checking out the 1010XL On Demand. It's brought to you by Kuhn Flowers, locations on Beach Boulevard and in Ponte Vedra. Kuhn Flowers wants to be your florist.
This is The Sports Den with Denny Thompson and James Coleman on 1010XL.
You know what's tough? Is when you sit down to do a radio show and your computer's not working at all.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about eating a peanut butter cupcake.
Is that with a peanut butter cup?
There's a Reese's cupcake.
That's not on ThinMD's program.
It's my cheat day.
I think James, I don't know how he loses weight. James has six cheat days in one real day.
I don't have six cheat days.
Bro.
I pace myself. Mm. So I did my weigh-in yesterday.
Oh, so.
Was a little disappointed.
Oh, I wonder why.
I mean, I didn't lose. I didn't lose anything, but I didn't gain anything.
Uh-huh.
So I mourned.
Okay.
And I was depressed. Mm-hmm. And then I did good today. But then I had to go buy cupcakes for the fam. And I was like, well, you know what? Let me get me a cupcake. I've done good today. Reward myself.
Right.
But I also figured something out. I haven't bought my waters from I haven't gone to Native Sun and got my water that I normally drink. Mm-hmm. So my water intake has been thrown off. I've only drank the 120 ounces of free filtered water that I get from every Starbucks. Day from Starbucks. So I haven't drank enough water. So I got to get back. So I'm going to drink. I got my water here so I can make sure.
So that'll cancel out the.
It probably won't, but we'll figure it out.
I see you're thinking that.
I'm not quite Eric, my GM, who is, this is what he does. I don't know how he eats the way he eats, but he's in Floyd Mayweather of bodybuilding mode. Like, yeah. He's staying in competition weight for like his whole life.
I'm good on that.
Yeah, that's no fun. If I'm going to die, I'm going to go out the way I want to go out.
With a peanut butter and chocolate.
Yeah. As long as I don't go back to the hospital for all of that, I'm good. I got at least another 20, 30 years before I have to worry about that. Hopefully.
Gotcha. Well, the problem you got now is that you got a pocket full of ABC gift cards.
Yeah.
That's the problem you got now.
I don't drink. It was just disappointing. I don't have the time to drink like I used to drink because I'm busy. So I can't day drink.
So in other words, what you want to be is unemployed and drunk.
No, I want to be like Doc, who seems that all he does is play golf. He doesn't drink during the surgery. Let me make sure it's clear. Like, Doc doesn't, I don't know if he drinks, but I know his surgeries are pretty good because we're testing a couple of these knees.
Yeah.
Pretty good. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I want to be able to like just poke my head in, train somebody maybe once or twice a week.
Twice a week?
Yeah.
Not a day, but a week.
Yeah, just train, like come in on Monday. Hey, I want to be like the dentist of performance training. You know how you go to the dentist?
See him every 6 months?
No. I don't want that. I won't be able to pay very many bills that way. But what I want to do is I want to be able to come in.
Okay.
They've been trained by all the dental assistants or my trainers.
Oh, okay.
And then I come in and I look at the sheet.
Give them the once over.
Look at some of the sprint mechanics. Look at some of their, okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. I'll see you guys next week.
Make sure you pay before you leave.
Yeah, make sure you see Eric.
Pay before you leave and schedule your next appointment.
And charge them more.
Mm. Sounds like a plan.
But that's not going to happen because, unfortunately, people think I'm good at my job, and the results show it, so I have to actually be there now. So,
well, we're going to talk about sports injuries next segment with Dr. Swanson from Southeast Orthopedic Specialists. I actually have an interesting question for him. I haven't given him any heads up. See if we can stump him.
Okay.
I wouldn't do that to him, but that will be coming up. And I think you were out at Trinity, right? Yeah, so he was out at Trinity for a little bit, so we'll find out what was going on out there. They had their spring game tonight.
It was tonight?
Yeah. It's Thursday.
Oh, man. I kind of wanted to watch that.
So, okay, to recap, you want to train occasionally. You want to do radio occasionally.
Radio has really cut into my vacations. This five-day-a-week thing, fun.
And the drinking.
Because they won't let you drink on your job. What kind of kind of racket is this? But tomorrow I'll have my weekly taste. With the cigars, we'll do our pairing, our weekend Memorial Day pairing, for what you should smoke and what you should drink. Go into thehumidor.com, type in Sports Den. for that 20% off.
It's Memorial Day. It should be beer, right?
I don't know what he's got for me.
Should just be beer and hot dogs and hamburgers.
As hot as it is, I'm not mad at you. Like this
yeah.
is if you're
like
a rookie,
Pops beer.
If you're a rookie, liquor is not for you when in this 110 degree heat index or whatever we have.
No, no.
And today was the cool day.
It actually wasn't bad today. I was out at the Jags OTAs. Didn't see you out there.
I had other obligations.
Are you going tomorrow?
I plan on it.
Okay, good, because I will not be there tomorrow, so that's good. As long as one of us.
We have to have one.
I mean, for the first week at least.
I mean, it's not
right?
notable. Like, no, ain't nobody saying where's James at.
No.
Austin Lane is out there, so they don't have anybody to confuse.
He's a little taller.
Yeah, but we're both medium brown.
Uh-huh.
We both have dreads.
Right.
We both have beards.
Right.
He's noticeably more tatted, but I've seen people confused. I mean, people thought I was
from a distance.
Yeah, people thought I was Tyson Alualu when he first got here. I tell you about that was my first TPC. And I thought people in Jacksonville were just the most friendly people in the world. Because everybody was like, man, you know, we are so glad to have you here, man. You know, just let us know if you're here. I was like, cool, man. I appreciate it, man. Thank you. I've been here for a little bit. I'm trying to find my way around town, and these are good. Oh, man, we're glad to have you here, man. I'm like, cool. Let me buy you a drink. Sure, why not? And I'm just going around thinking people are just really friendly. I'm like, man, TPC, why have I not been to TPC?
Uh-huh.
And then somebody was like, hey, Tyson, what's the difference between – being out in California here, I'm like, Tyson, okay, well, all right, maybe they give random nicknames. And then I thought about it, I'm like, wait a minute. Tyson, isn't that the guy we just drafted? People think I'm Tyson.
Did you play it the rest of the day?
Oh, of course.
Yeah?
I didn't have to sign anything.
Did you Google anything? Like, did you Google him to see where he is from? Or?
Well, I know he was Samoan, and I know he was from Cal.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely got a lot of free beverages that day.
Mm.
And then as we talked, you talked about G. I went to Greg's a couple years ago. Him and Maurice Jones-Drew had a charity event at the bowling alley. It's called the main event now. What was mm-hmm. it called before?
Yeah, Latitude.
Latitude 30, yeah. And people were like, hey, man, I want you to sign my jersey. I'm like, dude, I am not who you think I am.
I don't know who you think I am.
Like, you don't want me to sign your jersey, bro. He's like, nah, man, please. Please sign it. I'm like, all right, well. I just signed James Coleman 36.
So
there's a random Jaguars jersey that somebody has probably hanging up on their mantle with a James Coleman signature that clearly, I promise you, is not worth anything.
Hmm. Biggest takeaway today from OTAs for me was, and I'm interested for you to get out and see this dude because we see a lot of dudes who are pretty put together. Josh Allen is different, man. You know how when you saw Mercedes Lewis for the first time, you're like, oh, dang.
He's tall.
Josh Allen is, like, if you were going to draw a football player, it would be Josh Allen. He's bigger than I thought he was. Like, he's because on the pictures, he looks kind of thin, I thought, anyway. And leading up to the draft, that's one of the things that we said was, you know, does he have the size? Man, that dude, and he didn't practice today.
He was too busy signing.
But he was out there. Yeah, he did sign today, signed his contract. Congratulations to him. But he was out there kind of working out, and the guy's put together, man. I mean, now I can see why the ex-coach of his that I talked to was like, he could be the number one overall pick. Like, he's rare. Now I can see that. You don't see cats built like that even in the NFL.
Nah, every now and then you find people who are, and I'm sure he eats well, like, but he's probably one of those people that just would piss you off when you're working out.
Yeah,
like how you talk about me.
Yep.
But like he's like in real life would piss you off.
Oh yeah, yeah, like Greg Jones.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same type of thing. Nick Foles. Like
pediatrician.
So the speaking of It's not built like Josh Allen. But so where we were standing today, like, I think I was somewhere I wasn't supposed to be for a minute because I was talking with Baselli, and Baselli, I forgot. Baselli
well, can
where
go wherever he wants.
Right.
That's but that's the benefit.
Where they had us, they were in the middle field. So there's three fields at the Jaguars practice facility. Tuesday was the first field. So the nice thing about the first field was you stand in the end zone or you can sit in the bleachers and you can see everything. Today was the second field. and they were doing, you know, they were doing some drills, and every now and then I would just see a ball pop, just pop, and I kind of peek around because you couldn't see all over all those guys.
Mm-hmm.
And every ball that was thrown that just caught my eye was Nick Foles. And before somebody goes, well, of course it was. Now, you can go to NFL practices in shorts, and usually the backup's out there winging it because he's got something to prove, or the third string or the fourth string guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Foles was making some throws today. I didn't realize he had that kind of arm strength. I kind of pictured Foles, and maybe this is bad on me, of kind of that really accurate touch guy. Man, Duke can bring it. And he threw some balls today that were right where they needed to be, right on time. You can still see. I mean, there's still, you know, of course, second day of practice. Still a lot of timing issues, all that kind of stuff. But as far as what you can tell through OTAs, here's the good news, Jacksonville. It's not Blake Bortles. Like, the ball's spinning the way it should. It doesn't look like it has one of those little roly weights in it that's mm-hmm. just jumping all
over.
It's
not a Hennessy bottle.
It's not a Hennessy bottle. And for the most part, it looks like it's going where it should. I have not seen a ball hit off anybody's foot. And when I say anybody, I mean a defender. Or anybody's helmet. Or anything like that. I haven't seen a ball that comes out of his hand that you wonder, like, was there a gust of wind that took that 35 feet to the right? Haven't seen that. Which is sad that we're saying this, but that's an improvement.
Yeah.
It's a massive improvement. I told you I was going to try to, you know, really get eyes on Fournette. Really wasn't much of a chance today. Just line of view that I had and what they were doing, not much of a chance to see how he looks. So didn't really get that. But, you know, the rest of it, it's OTA. I mean, I don't know really what y'all want to know. If there's something specific y'all want to know that I can talk about, hit us up on the Duval Ford text line, 641-1010. Did somebody really just send us a picture of Eric on the text line?
Yeah.
Like, we don't know who he is?
Well, maybe the people know who he is.
Was that Eric that sent us a picture of Eric?
Go look, because I don't know anybody's number. That would be weird for him to send a screenshot.
If that's Eric that sent us a picture of Eric.
That's not Eric.
Okay. Yo, we know what Eric looks like, his general manager. Y'all don't need to send us a picture. Especially the dude all flexed up on us. And he's what? How old is he?
50-something.
This makes me feel bad about myself. By the way, Eric, who goes downtown and takes your shirt off and flexes?
I think that's when he was on vacay somewhere, when he was, like, doing a show. So that's not here.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. That's not Jacksonville.
I don't know who that is.
Although, if I look like that, I probably would do the same thing.
Oh, man, I'm shocked. I'm just glad he wears a shirt. I wouldn't. Somebody's going to fire me.
This is an interesting question. 718 says, when you really want to listen to Sports Den with Denny and James because their show is the best on 1010, but you know you're washed and 4 a.m. comes real early. Thank God for the podcast. Transfer portal question. Who from 1010 would you put in the portal? If you think I'm going to answer that question, you're crazy.
If I'm going to get fired, I'm going to get fired for saying something random. I'm not going to get fired for calling somebody out. I've gotten in enough trouble for that.
Yeah. There's no way I'm answering that.
JJ.
Yeah,
JJ's in exactly. the portal. JJ's yeah. in the portal.
Yeah, no, that's a good call. JJ just, like, bounced on us. Everybody wants to know where JJ is. JJ's doing the morning. Is that what he's doing now?
Yeah, he's been on the drill while Beef's out watching the newborn.
Okay, I'm on strike of JJ. Anything he does, I will not listen to right now. I will not support this. Sometimes I'm here, sometimes I'm not.
So he only works one show now?
Yeah, he's doing the morning, but he's also doing XL primetime, too.
He didn't do it today. It was clearly ET.
Well, that's right. Today was ET. He was out for something today, but usually he's doing both.
Because I was trying to listen to XL primetime, and then this Quiet Storm voice, you know, yeah. Because, you know, ET got that very deep, regular radio voice.
Very distinct.
But Matt, let me ask you a question. What y'all doing there, is that really, like, hard labor?
Absolutely not.
Okay, so would it be inappropriate to make a guy work three shows for a little while?
I mean, not necessarily, but I know JJ, he likes his time off.
That split shift is tough. That was.
What do you mean it's tough? We do it every day.
Nah, but I mean he has to get up at 4 to be, which
man, suck it up for bad. A couple of hours.
I will say this. I had to do that for the first 4 months.
You did it for
months.
4 months. We're asking him to do it for 2 weeks.
I mean, fair enough. Fair enough. I mean, I was gonna say like it was tough doing that, but you're right. 4 comes early.
Yeah.
Especially on that Tuesday, man. That 10 to midnight show.
Yeah, that's true. I'm gonna give JJ, Matt, like you, like country, all that stuff, but I'm really just messing with JJ here. I'm gonna give JJ another week, and if his butt's not in here when we start the following week, then we're gonna have a hate on JJ segment every night.
Plus you gotta be able to time your dosages.
It's true.
So I mean if you got him split shift and you know he's taking a lunchtime hit.
Right.
I mean he's liable to come in here real baked.
Right, which y'all already think he does anyway. Yeah. Let's get Dr. Swanson in here. That's coming up next.
Southeast Orthopedic Specialist presents Dr. Chris Swanson on the Sports Den. A board-certified orthopedic surgeon specializing in sports medicine, Dr. Swanson has been assistant team physician for the Cincinnati Bengals and Drexel University men's basketball and is the current team physician for several area high schools. Visit se-ortho.com.
Well, dang. Just play that for 12 minutes and let's call it a segment.
Hold up. Time out. Not to get overly personal here. It doesn't affect this, but like, damn, how much do y'all pay? We don't even like we work here, and I don't even have a James Coleman with the Sports Den during the week. That was a minute and a half introduction. They gave your whole resume.
I mean, gee, why am I reading spots?
We just play that.
Are you cool with that?
Who recorded that? That guy sounded pretty good.
I don't know. That didn't sound like
it wasn't the voice.
Didn't sound like Tom.
That was Cutler, like their main the old ESPN guy. He still does voiceovers for us.
Oh, okay.
So they called him the big dog.
Oh, they got the big major league guys doing that.
Holy crap.
Man, I'm nervous to talk to Dr. Swanson.
So underdressed and like ill prepared. Like that was impressive.
And we start coming here in suits on Thursdays. I mean, Are you offended by the way we dress, Dr. Swanson?
I thought you guys might look a little more cleaned up than this.
How long have you known us? This is as clean as you've ever seen me, by the way.
I got my hair retwisted for this. I only do that for TV.
How you doing, man?
Good, good. Thanks for having me.
So you were out at Trinity before?
Yeah, I was at the Trinity spring game till the end of the third quarter.
And they were winning, you said, 6-3?
It was 6-3 when I left.
Mm. Come on, Trinity. I expect better than that out of you.
There was not a lot of offense.
Were they playing Gainesville?
Yep.
Gaines. Hey, is it confirmed that you're the tallest doctor in Jacksonville?
Close.
Do you know one taller?
Not off the top of my head.
Do you know one taller?
Who's the guy, the Fleming Island guy? He's pretty tall, right?
How tall are
you? The black guy?
6'6". Nah.
Oh, never mind. Nah, he ain't 6'6". You said 6'6". Yeah, he ain't 6'6".
So I've got this interesting thing I want to ask you about. There's this new TV series, and James, I don't even know if you know about this, coming out. It's a 40-yard dash tournament, this TV series. It sounds pretty cool, right? Like, I may tune in for that. 40-yard dash tournament. The problem is, in my mind, there's a bunch of NFL players running in this. So it's 16 total players that'll participate. And they go head-to-head bracket-style competition. And we're talking about guys like Teddy Ginn, Alvin Kamara, Tariq Cohen, Mark Ingram. Mark Ingram?
Yeah, he's going to get smoked. He ran a 4.7 at his peak?
Yeah, why is he doing this? My question for you is that safe?
So when are they filming this?
June.
Wow. With current guys, that seems crazy.
Doesn't it? Because if they get hurt, I mean, some of these cats aren't going to get paid.
I would think they'd have it in their contract that they couldn't do something like that.
The article that I'm reading says it's unknown whether the individuals cleared this with their teams, and it's unlikely that the teams could even stop them from doing it. So if these guys, I mean, what's the most common injury for something like that? Like a hamstring or something?
Hamstring, definitely.
And a hamstring can put you out for a while, right?
It could be anywhere from a couple weeks to a couple months. You see it all the time in training camp where guys tweak their hamstring and then they're out for first few weeks of the regular season.
So if you were one of these guys, doctors, would you advise against this?
Depends how much they were getting paid to do it.
Well, we know they're not getting – I mean, some of these guys are making $5, $6 million a year.
There's no way.
I mean, what would you think they would make? Like maybe a grand prize of –
they're probably 50
G's?
They're probably getting 10 in appearance.
That's crazy, probably, isn't it? Like,
if I'm drafting it up with the advertising, I'm not paying them. I'm not breaking the bank with them.
No. Had you heard about this?
No. I think it's dumb.
Now, with all that being said, I'll watch it.
I mean, it's essentially track and field.
It'll be over pretty fast.
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder if it's just like one episode. I guess that's what it is. Because remember last week we talked about Ted Ginn saying he'll race anybody for 10 G's.
Yeah. I know one person he won't race.
What, the kid
from
Texas?
The white boy from Texas.
Yeah, that boy can run. That boy, did you see that? The high school kid from Texas?
Nah.
Breaking all kinds of stereotypes.
Yeah. He's setting national records.
He broke the national 100 high school record. The first high schooler ever to go sub 10, which even when you're going – when you're running that fast, like it's a stress on all your on everything, and I didn't realize that until one of my buddies who actually ran track, who's gone sub 10, and he was like, that's when he was telling me everybody juicing.
Yeah,
he's like, because there's no way. He's like, when you run that fast, it hurts, because he was clean. Mm. He's like, I ran that fast, and I can tell you this much, I didn't run that fast the next week. He's like, it took him a couple weeks to be able to do it again. So like. The problem is doing this, and now these guys are ultra competitors. So now they do run the risk, like you were talking about, to strain something. With a hamstring pull, is there a better way to pull it? Like what I mean is like is like the lower like because it's
he's looking at you like
the hamstrings. All right, I'm not gonna go into you're the doctor. You know all the it ain't just like okay, boom, hamstring. Like, boom, it's all there. It's like a whole bunch of different things. But, like, if you pull that lower part, like, right, like, that, like, may, like really the back of the knee, that seems to suck more than if you pull, like, the middle, like, if it feels like the middle part. Like, are there various, like, ways that you probably have to, like, rehab or
one's longer worse than the other, basically.
One's worse than the other?
Yeah, I mean, pulling it sort of the top is and bottom or proximally and distally is definitely going to take a little longer to rehab generally. Sometimes you can pull it off the bone proximally too, which is worse. The muscle, which is in the middle, a lower grade sort of pull of the muscle is what's going to give you your quickest chance at rehab.
Go ahead.
That's all getting sped up now these days with PRP injections and things like that, especially for the strains that are in the muscle belly. You can improve the speed at which you can get back to playing by some of these new biologic injections.
Well, with the new magic bullet that everybody's talking about in the NFL's investigate, would weed help this?
You gonna ask that man that on the first night?
I'm just asking. That's what's on the first that's night, what's
we
new.
Just gonna that's lead
what,
with that.
I mean, that's what they're talking about. Like weed does everything. Weed
it'll
cures headaches. Weed cures.
It'll hurt less. Oh. Yeah.
It won't heal your hamstring.
Stay off the weed. So last year, I didn't even know this was a thing. Last year before the national championship game, who's your college team?
UConn.
Okay. All right. Well, that's kind of boring right now for football, but okay. They were talking about Tua and this high ankle sprain and a surgery they did. Is this the new norm for high ankle sprains is to actually – perform a surgery so that you get back quicker?
Yeah, I mean, that was definitely a highly publicized version of that procedure. You know, you can do that with new technology. You can put a minimally invasive tightrope, it's called, in which stabilizes that joint and can let you get back quicker. It was definitely aggressive in Tua's case. You know, previously, same thing for T.O. back when the Eagles played the Patriots in the Super Bowl. He had the same type of injury, but back then there wasn't as many good options. But he had surgery early to try to get back as quick as he could.
So is this something that happens often for high ankle sprains, or is this fairly new?
not often, happening more, but it still involves a surgery. So, you know, most of your high ankle sprains can still heal with conservative treatment and time. It just takes a lot longer time. So for somebody like Tua, he didn't have the benefit of time.
He had a month, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
He had like a month. I want to say that they did it, was it 3 weeks out from when he needed to play, if I remember right.
Now you refresh my mind. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It was fast.
And isn't there a risk with that, though? Isn't there like, okay, we're going to do the surgery. You got 3 weeks. I mean, there's stuff that can go wrong in rehab, right? That could have set him back as well. Am I wrong on that?
No, certainly. I mean, there's plenty that could have gone wrong in rehab. And, I mean, just having surgery, you know, there's risks that go along with the surgery for sure. Although, I mean, he really was moving around pretty well for just being a few weeks out from having an operation on his ankle.
What do you see from an athletic standpoint? We've had this conversation off air before. Like, what's the injury that's most ignored that's easily treatable? Like high school guys or even college or pro guys, you know, they feel something go wrong and they just continue to go on and it turns into something bigger. Kind of the old tough it up days, right? Of, hey, just get out there and play. But it can weaken other parts and then end up in a better or bigger injury. Is there a more common, like we talked about hamstrings, is there a more pain that people seem to ignore that can result in something a little bigger?
I think for throwers especially,
yeah,
you know, quarterbacks, baseball players, I think that people tend to ignore the slight shoulder pain or shoulder strain. And then over time, that leads to a lot more significant problems. Whereas caught early on, you can do some stretching, improve your flexibility, improve your mechanics, and maybe prevent that from turning into something that becomes more serious with a labrum or rotator cuff that ends up shutting you down for a longer period of time. I think for throwers, that's one that I think definitely gets overlooked, especially not so much in the college professional level, but in the high school, middle school level for sure.
It's funny because this labrum stuff is the new ACL. We've talked a ton about this, but in the last 4 or 5 years, I've heard more labrum tears than I think I heard in the previous 10 years, to the point where, I mean, I called you and was like, okay, what's the deal with this? Like, I was completely stupid to actually what that was, but man, that rehab that sucks. I mean, there's some quarterbacks that come back in 4 or 5 months, and there's other quarterbacks, it takes a year.
Mm-hmm.
For a labrum tear to come back and then be able to throw it. Why? Why is that all of a sudden happening? Why are labrum tears all of a sudden seems like it's happening every week? And it's not just quarterbacks. It's all across the board.
Yeah, I think a couple reasons I think that you see it more. One is I think people are more sports specialized at an earlier age now, so they're doing a lot more of whatever it is, whether it's throwing footballs, throwing baseballs. Nobody's playing three sports. Mm-hmm. Throughout the year anymore, so you're not giving your body a break. I think that's one. Two, I think there's so much more training at an earlier age that we didn't have growing up, where people have specific training, weight training, so they're doing a lot more at a younger age that's putting more stress on their shoulders. And then the third is MRIs now are so much better that the MRIs we had 20 years ago may not even have picked up some of these labral tears, but now the MRIs are so good that even the lower quality MRIs are going to pick it up.
I had I had a labrum surgery the scariest part was they said, well, the MRI. They're like, it could be your labrum, might be your rotator cuff. We won't know until we get in there though. I'm like, what do you mean? Like, yeah, we could go in there, see it's your rotator cuff. And then instead of the little pokes, we got to slice your shoulder all the way open. And then it's a longer rehab, but. They told me that mine, like you were saying, might, like, obviously hitting people probably didn't help it.
Right. I didn't realize it was a contact injury. That's the other thing. I didn't realize it was a big contact injury.
They were saying it probably started, because mine was like a really, really good tear. They're like, it probably started when you were like in high school and you just ignored the shoulder pain like you were talking about. And then it got, because like I was doing, how I figured it out, I was doing a bench press and all of a sudden I heard like this grinding and I'm like, I don't think that's good. And then we went in, we did the MRI, and I remember this day, my position coach was with me, And it kind of goes into what the texter's text is. We'll read that in a second. And Billy Sexton was just like, all right, spell it out to us. Does he have to have this surgery now? And they were like, well, if he was a quarterback, he probably would want to do it, and he probably wouldn't be able to throw very well. But since he's a fullback, suck it up.
Oh.
So I had the surgery in the, I had the surgery in the offseason, but like I found out like week four.
And then once you find out
that I
knew
I was going to have surgery, and they tried to do all these different things, and it affects the way you play. And I'm like, well, I got to play now. But yeah, that labrum thing is bad. But to read 699's text, he's like, what's the biggest misconception about playing through injuries? And can a doctor override the coach or the player in a game type situation?
Yeah, I mean, generally speaking, you know, if you're the physician or doctor on the sideline, you have sort of final say over whether somebody can or can't go into the game. And so most of the time, the coaches should be listening to your recommendation on that. And generally, that's the case.
Now, for concussions, that's absolutely the case, right?
Yeah, like, for concussions, there's no room for there's no wiggle room on concussions anymore. I mean, people trying to hide concussions, talk their way back into the game. If there's even a suspicion of a concussion, you're out 100%.
This guy also said, thinking about RG3 and if they should have benched him. So, like, a situation like that where somebody comes off and they've got a knee injury. And, my guess is you have a pretty good idea right away what it is, but they want to go back in and you're not 100% sure. Can you say, no, you're not?
Yeah, you can say that. I mean, and you can go over the risks and
but if they want to go back in, what happens? Like, if they just say, you know what, bump you, I'm going in. They can do that?
I mean, especially at the professional level, they probably can do that. But most of the time, you know, the team wants to protect their best interest too, because long term it doesn't help them to go back in and end up missing an entire season.
I think football's evolved a lot in that way. And we're going to get into something a little bit later about people wanting to do away with the Oklahoma drill. There's some discussion on that, and I have some thoughts on that. But I think football's evolved a lot, because when we came up, it was, don't go over there and see that doctor. He's going to tell you not to go back in. All right, just hang over here with me. Now it's pretty regular that the first thing you hear a coach say is go see the doctor, go see the trainer, go see whatever. Like, I'm sure some of that has to do with the litigious society we live in, but I think it has evolved a ton. Even in the time that you've been doing it, have you seen kind of that evolution?
Yeah, and I mean, I think so. Our role is, we got to try to protect kids from themselves,
right?
You know, even tonight in the spring game, there was kids that were either just getting better from surgeries or tweaked something in the game tonight, who were just dying to go back in for one play in a spring game
that means nothing
in the third quarter when it's 6-3.
Yeah, that's. That's tough. What's the worst? Is that the worst injury you ever had? Was the shoulder?
I mean, I broke my. I had a slight. I mean, I guess then they call stuff slight. There is no really slight way to break your jaw, but
you get either broken or not broken.
Yeah. What happened was my face mask broke, and we didn't have the equipment managers weren't like that in my high school, and it was a spring game, and I didn't come out. And actually ended up being one of my teammates and a good friend, Sam McGrew. I was running the ball, and my face mask came open, and he just happened to catch me at the right time, top.
Ooh.
And we didn't have a great relationship with an ortho then.
Uh-huh.
And my mama didn't really have insurance then. We had this, like, the school thing that you had to buy. And my mom was like, we're not going. She's like, can you open your mouth? Does it just hurt?
Can you,
like,
chew? Cool.
Can you chew? I was like, yeah, it hurts. And then it kind of eventually healed up. I didn't die. So she gave me Robitussin and told me, take this Robitussin, take a nap. That was that was my mother's doctor advice. She loves me, I think. I'm pretty sure my mom loves me, but that was the way we figured that part out. But yeah, the labrum was pretty bad. That 2 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks that you can't do anything when it's really weak. That was bad, but I also noticed how much I bump into things, not even on the field, just in general. When you have a surgery, like when I broke my hand, I realized how many times my hand hit stuff.
Yep.
I realized how many times my shoulder hit stuff because it hurts. But mainly, you can't really get up under there when you're bathing.
It stinks.
So, like, that funk
yes.
was strong for about a week after I got out of the
I've always thought brace. That's one of the worst parts of a doctor's job is taking the cast off. Mm. Like, you know, you smelt some terrible stuff.
Terrible stuff. Fortunately, I don't do any cast anymore, basically. So that's
now they got the cast with, like, the holes in it, though, that it airs out, right?
See, that's a good yep. question. Like, so with how a lot of these high-level programs are, having a relationship with the ortho and things like that, so they get you can see somebody a little bit more regular than you could in the past. When I broke my hand, again, another one of those things, I broke my hand, like, week 10, and so we had a couple more games. So, but they just put a cast on it in practice. But they sawed it off, and so I could take it out, and then I put it back in,
yeah.
and they taped it back up. Like, are you able to – are you guys – maybe don't do that. But are you guys able to do some things to where somebody can still function, but you can protect the athlete because of the knowledge? Are you able to do that more with your relationship with some of the schools that you guys have now?
Yeah, I think definitely, because we have such a good setup of getting kids in and out quickly and getting them – working with the therapy companies around town to get them treatment between from week to week. And then, you know, sometimes there's different braces you can use. You do one thing during the week, take it a little easy in rehab during the week, and then brace or tape or different casts, different things that you can put on to allow you to play the following week. So I think the close relationship definitely lets us do that for kids.
Here's the only bad thing about this relationship here is now he's going to come in here every Thursday. And if my knee hurts, I'm going to have to answer the question, what did you do? Like, I've been, what, for 2 years?
About 2 years.
Coming to you about this knee. And I can't, it's not like I can go have it operated on because I've got to, I mean, that would put me out of business. But what took the cake is when I decided to join your crew at Boost and work out. And I come in there and my knee is about the size of your head. And he's like, what were you doing? I was like, yeah, plyo. And the look he just
box
gave me was
jumps.
Like, yeah, box jumps. He looked at it, he gave me was just like, you know what, just leave. I'm not even working on you today.
Yeah, that's part of the reason why people are like, James, you don't do as many examples
yeah.
as you used to do. Going up isn't the problem. It's the coming down part that I'm a little bit more terrified in. I'm afraid if I blow out a wheel, like I have to eventually go in there and coach people up. It's just a little bit more terrifying to do that. I don't want to go through the rehab.
What's the golf schedule this weekend before we let you run?
Oh, man, it's holiday weekend. Got to take it easy this weekend.
Oh, well, family's making you hang out a
little
bit.
Are you grilling?
Yeah, what do you grill?
We got a barbecue set up on Saturday. I think they're doing ribs.
Really? What time are we supposed to be there?
And come on over, 2:30.
I'm glad you do understand the difference, because people call me and say, hey, James, we're having a barbecue. You should come over. I'm like, cool. What's on the menu? They're like, oh, we got hot dogs and ham. That is not a barbecue. That is a cookout. You aren't barbecuing anything.
Mm.
Ribs, I'll give you chicken, but like brisket, now we're barbecue. We're barbecuing now.
Now, are you manning the grill?
Not this weekend, but I can.
Can you?
Yeah.
I stink at it, man.
I don't grill.
I don't own a grill.
I don't cook.
He's never
I don't need to. I have my son's godfather is the best person that I'm not gonna that's what he does. We go over there for that reason. As a matter of fact, I put in on his smoker and some of the other things that he has. So
you got like a timeshare.
Yeah, it's like a timeshare. Like when he when he bought his first grill, I used my military discount. I'm like, hey, we're gonna come over here. This is a community thing. And that's what you do. Like, if they want me to burn, I probably can burn some hot dogs for you.
That's working smarter, not harder.
Yeah, exactly.
If my son saw me grilling, he'd be like, Dad, what are you doing?
See, Pops is really good. My dad's really good. Like, he grills twice a day. Like, he'll grill breakfast. And I'm like, I just don't, it's hot out there. And the grill just makes it hotter. And I don't know how to season stuff. And I don't have the patience. It's like, I'm good. I'll go through. I'll run through Winn-Dixie or something. They got a good wing bar.
They do?
Yeah, man. That one by us?
That real nice high-end one?
Yeah, man. He stuffed the bucket for like $9. Give him a free plug here. But, yes, you get this bucket, and you can put it as much as you want in there for $9. Yeah. Yeah, give it a try.
I'm a Publix guy.
Okay. I'm a Southeast orthopedic specialist guy.
That makes sense.
Appreciate
unfortunately,
that.
Unfortunately, I'm in there more than I probably should be. But it's good to have you guys on board with the Sports Den. And Dr. Swanson will be joining us every Thursday night, most Thursday nights, right? I mean, Sometimes he has golf trips. He does things.
Not hating on that.
No. And the man will wear you out on a golf course. Don't, like, most tall guys suck at golf. Honestly. Like, because there's just too much going on. So we went out and played, and I'm like, I wonder if he's any good. Man, that joker wore me out.
If I play with him, we're just playing his ball.
When we weren't playing that. We weren't playing. We were just playing.
I'm not competing in golf. I know I'm Charles Barkley. I know I'm not good. I'm going to dress the part. I'm going to have the nice clubs. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have the shoes. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have the fancy glove. I'm going to have all of that stuff. But, I may not even take a swing. Like, if your ball – I don't want to be there all day.
You're just putt.
No, we'll be there. We really will be there all day if I'm putting. You got a better chance of me hitting a good shot that you'll talk about and that'll make me feel like I could be on the tour if I could hit every shot like that.
Yeah.
Then me putting. Me putting is going to – it's going to take 10.
I haven't played since – I've played once since Christmas.
I go to Topgolf.
One time. Yeah, I know you go to Topgolf. Man, lived at Topgolf for the first month that it opened.
And then that's why I got fired from
James,
from
where
that
you at?
Job.
I'm at Topgolf.
That's why I got fired from Hit Center. I was at Topgolf all the time. I wasn't training nobody.
Southeast Orthopedic Specialist, that's where you need to go. SE-ortho.com. What's your specialty, Doc?
Sports medicine. Do shoulders and knees.
Shoulders and knees. Probably 90% of men listening right now have something going on with one of those, that you're just living in pain. Go see Dr. Swanson. Go to Southeast Orthopedic Specialist. That's se-ortho.com. You can look at all the different locations that they've got, or you can call them at 904-634-0640. Appreciate it, Doc. We'll see you next week.
Thanks, guys.
All right. We'll be right back.
XL. Join us in the Sports Den. Call or text 641-1010.
How rude, Matt. You couldn't see us just hanging out with Dr. Swanson?
We're having a good time, man.
Sorry about that, guys.
You're going to make us actually work? So you're telling good stories, and all of a sudden you're like, hey, we're on.
Had to crack the bad news 10 seconds.
Dang, Matt. So inconsiderate. So there's talk now of this Oklahoma drill going away. So basically saying at the NFL level that we're not really going to allow this anymore. And there's I guess a study going on. Like, that's their new thing, right? Is we're going to study this. I don't actually at the NFL level have a problem with this at all. Like, I don't, where I have the problem with it is, and for what people that don't know, the Oklahoma drill is, it changes every year, by the way.
Yeah, like, I got to figure out what people are saying.
But in his, like, when we were growing up, it was like almost one-on-one or three-on-two or something like that, right? Nowadays, they've got, like, center, two guards, or and a running back. And you're going against two tackles and a linebacker, and you know, there's occasionally a big hit in it. And it's a full contact drill. People do it different ways. That's what an Oklahoma drill is. In the NFL, there's talk that they're wanting to do away with it. The reason I don't have a problem in the NFL is you're at that level, you know how to tackle.
Right.
You're at that level for the most part. It's used for the most part to see how tough people are. You're a pretty tough guy if you're at the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Right. The problem with I have with it is if it goes away in the NFL, it's going to go away in college. It's going to go away in high school. I think it should go away in Pop Warner, by the way. That's a different conversation for a different day. The reason why I think that drill is important in high school and even college is it is one of the rare chances where you have a physical drill that you get an opportunity to coach guys up on the proper way to hit. And people may be listening and go, well, why do they need to do it in college? Man, there's a lot of cats that get exposed in college.
Yes. Personal experience.
Okay.
Is good, part of the benefit of having a guy who actually played the sport. So I went from a situation where I was just overly dominant, partly because of small school ball, play big schools, but you're the big fish, small pond.
Mm-hmm.
And not the Oklahoma drill. I had never experienced inside drill.
Okay.
Which is just a huge Oklahoma drill. Just it's essentially like everybody talks about 7-on-7. It's essentially 7-on-7 for running.
Right.
And it's live. And it looked like war. Like my first, like they were like, go get some reps. Nah. Hell no. That's crazy. People screaming. You're seeing guys jump over. there's no pass. The linebackers aren't taking any, like, there's no threat of pass. All they're doing is going straight downhill, filling their gaps, and guys are just colliding. But, like, you see a bunch of guys who you thought were bangers cheese up mm-hmm. in that situation. And I think in the Oklahoma drill magnifies that even more, so you need to know who's going to actually hit during the fire.
Yeah.
Like when stuff is going on. And I think from a running back perspective, it also teaches you how to read holes faster or read blocks better.
Yeah.
So the D lineman, it teaches them how to split a double team. Because a lot of times when we did it, it was two linemen, two offensive linemen, a D lineman, and a linebacker with the running back. So essentially there's nobody for the running back. The running back's job is to read what's going on and get up to the next level in a tight space. So I like it. Some people mix up names all the time. So when I heard Oklahoma, I immediately thought what some people may call the hamburger drill, like the one where you're laying down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I believe there's no place
for that. No.
Because again, like especially in high school, mm-hmm. like me, I told my high school, I was joking about it on Twitter, and the guy whose kid I did it to, like it was my guidance counselor's son, and like they actually said, I think you're talking about my son. I told my coach, I said, listen, I don't feel like doing this. Mm-hmm. And he was like, no, you got to be a leader. You're going to do everything. I said, dude, you make me do this, I'm going to hurt somebody's child. Mm-hmm. And he was like, I was like, all right. I got down and I could get up quick and I ran full speed. Pow! And they're like, medic. And I'm like, and he's like, all right, just go over there, sit down. I didn't have to do it the rest of the camp. But that just wasn't fair.
Right.
But Oklahoma, you see it coming and it's not. And the other thing, too, is there isn't any, like, real lead-up. Like, it's literally engaged right away.
The way so it's done now, yeah.
Well, I mean, maybe a long time ago. But yeah. the engaged right away kind of limits the injuries that can be made from long impact. NFL, either at that point, you can either hit mm-hmm. or you can't hit. Mm-hmm. You just need to be introduced to hitting so that it's not as bad when the season comes around.
Yeah.
And then once the season comes around, 80% of the teams, actually toward the end of training camp, 80% of the teams are in their shells is what we used to call the spider pads.
Yep.
Like, and there ain't no real hitting. But in college and high school, you're still trying to find out what people are made of. You're also still trying to teach more fundamentals. The NFL it's played high anyway. College and high school is still low man wins.
The interesting thing, and I thought about this being at OTAs today, is when you're in pads, practices have gotten less physical. But when you're in shells or when you're in just helmets, practices have gotten more physical. There's more that they do, not at just the NFL level, even the high school level. I don't know about you, but when I was coming up, like when you were in just helmets, that was basically a free day. Like you were just, you weren't really doing anything.
In high school?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, Thursday practice, like walkthrough practice, yes.
Right, even though when we would occasionally do it on Mondays or whatever. Like, but now they're full-on pass rush, full-on set block, you know what I mean? It's still – so I think there's still that physicality in the game. It's just you take the pads away and there's not the big hits.
Mm-hmm.
Think rugby.
Yes.
Right, and so it makes you kind of form up a little better. I do believe that we give the NFL – a hard time about going soft. And some of it is soft, but some of it is just knowledge. Some of it is we know, and we've been now taken to task on this, we know that this, and this, if we don't do it, it reduces injuries. I hate the new kickoff rule. I know it reduces injuries, but I hate it. I love kickoffs.
How it's moved up.
How it's moved up, and even now they can't get a 10-yard run a start. It's like 3 yards or 5 yards. It's like, so you don't get that full head of steam. I hate things that take away from the way the game is played, but at the same time, I am perfectly fine with taking Oklahoma out of the NFL game.
I also think, so prep, college, you're and even your first, like to your point, when you talk about quarterbacks, first 5 to 6 years mm-hmm. is when they're really developing. But really, your prep or your high school to your college, you're still developing. You haven't peaked athletically. You're still growing.
Right.
So you need there's an obvious like you need more reps. When you become a pro, it becomes even with training, it becomes less about your reps and more about quality. So whereas we may do, let's say sprints, we may do 10 sprints with our high school guys,
mm-hmm.
our college and our college guys may do 8, our pro guys may only do 4 of the same exercise because we don't need them to do a lot.
Right.
Actually, the more reps they get that are bad, mm-hmm. it actually takes away from them.
Ultimately hurt them.
Yeah, we need them to do it the right way a few times. It's just where their body is at. So what you do on the NFL level is kind of the culmination of all your years of playing. Like this is the test.
Mm-hmm.
You should be prepared for the test week in and week out. In high school and college, we're still trying to prepare you and get you the answers for the test.
And there's this other maturity thing that happens in people where they learn through experience or just maturity how to actually practice. Like in high school, you got to kind of force these guys into the right practice habits. I see it with training quarterbacks all the time, and I tell parents this all the time. There's something about that when they go off to college, and even if they're an early enrollee and they come back for spring break, they're just different. They've learned what's important in practice. They've learned how to take care of their body a little bit more. And the further along they go, the better it is. I'll take like Nate Peterman for an example.
Mm-hmm.
We train a high school kid. He gets there 10 minutes early. He warms up. Nate gets to sessions 45 minutes early.
Mm-hmm.
And when he doesn't throw to warm up, he warms up to throw. And when he's done with his stretching, he is drenched in sweat.
Mm-hmm.
But then when our workout is nowhere near as intense as it is at the high school level. And to your point, at the high school level, we'll spend 10, 15 minutes on a specific drill. Nate, we will spend 4 or 5 balls, 4 or 5 throws.
You've also learned the difference between how to gauge your body.
Yep.
You've learned what 100% feels like. You know how to go 60%. You know how to go 80%. When I was first learning about training, one of the best examples of it was we were talking about boxing. If you've ever watched Mike Tyson in his warm-up is drenched.
Mm-hmm.
But then so he's fully warm and he's prepared to go knock somebody out then. And that's something that, again, you've learned energy systems. You've been trained so much. Well, you may not know the energy system, but you've been trained so much to be able to engage in that. You don't have the time on the prep level to be able to get that. You start getting that at college because now it is, whether people want to believe it or not, it is your job. It's your profession for that 3 to 5 years. Yep. If you want to play at the high level. So you've learned a little bit more and the warm up is intense. Same thing with track athletes. Their warm up is typically more intense than the 10, 20 or 40 seconds that they're going to be actually doing in their event.
Well, I think this is relevant to what we're talking about, so I'll give this example. We have this past year put a big focus on, with our quarterbacks, trying to advance them to that point now. So when they get in middle school and high school, like you've heard the word functional warm-up. Everybody's heard it. Mm-hmm. But I think you've probably seen some of the stuff we do now in there to where our warm-up has like a specific purpose to the quarterback position. And it's not just out there stretching. And I think that's the comparison I draw to like an Oklahoma drill and even to these practices that we're talking about is as you get older, every drill has a specific purpose. And you know where that effort needs to go. Like if you see it all the time, especially if you're lucky enough that you get to go hang out at NFL practices. You see it with the best example I'll give is receivers. The receivers will run a route at 60%, but they'll come out of their break at 100%.
Right.
Like, they want to make sure they're balanced, and they want to make sure that they're getting into the ground. It's something that you can be taught, and you got to learn. And I think as you learn more about the science of the body and the science of football and how everything reacts, I don't have a problem with the game softening up a little bit. At the end of the day, it's still much bigger guys going much faster, running full speed into each other.
The way people have trained, the studying of the knowledge of the body and what the body can do is so much better and so much different than what it was even 10 years ago. Now, to your point, though, the problem is, and I noticed this when I was in high school, what the NFL is, eventually college becomes. And what college is eventually becomes what high school becomes. And what high school becomes is eventually what your Pop Warner, your middle school, things like that. So the softer the game gets up at the top, the softer the game eventually funnels down. So, but the game in of itself, the foundational principles of it is very physical. So you can't immediately, you can't just get rid of that. There has to be aspects of it. But at the same time, some of the drills that we did, like Bull in the Ring, some of these other things, they kind of have missed their purpose. Again, also the NFL, everybody is more even. College, people are starting to become even. The reason why some of that stuff now, you like again, you got kids who been training at places like Boost since they were eight.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so they're going to be way different than your kid who's, this is his first, like for me, I didn't pick up a football until I was 14. Now, granted, I look different and I played other sports, but me in this new climate going up against a person who's been trained, has done a lot of other stuff, probably could get hurt in that situation.
And you probably didn't pick up a weight or learn the proper way to run or anything like that till that point either.
Yeah, like I actually didn't start doing speed training and didn't even take it seriously until like my senior year when the company I ended up working for had got started. Mm-hmm. And then it was kind of like, okay, whatever. But when I got to college is when I really started lifting, mm-hmm. like for real. Like other than that, it was just me just tossing around weights. Part of my shoulder, I guarantee you, part of my labrum was me doing a high school workout without any supervision and just having measuring contests because I could take a weight and throw it up. Like I could clean and I could snatch, but I didn't get proper technique until I went to college.
You're just powering your way through it. Yeah. 8 o'clock coming up next. I've actually got what I think is a pretty good one, and it is football related. We'll get to that right when we come back.
You mad, bro?
1010XL, 92.5 FM. Join us in the Sports Den. Call or text 641-1010.
Open up your heart and let that hate out.
Hey, Matt, can you look at Duval Ford text line and help 463 out?
I'm sure we got something.
Yeah.
Let me take a look here.
All right. He's asking about walk-off event tomorrow.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I'll send him a text right now.
Okay. 8 o'clock brought to you by Loose Air Quality. LooseAirQuality.com is where you need to go if you got crappy air. That's LUCE AirQuality.com. Don't need those problems. You don't need the health problems that mold entails. We talk about the health problems all the time, but I have experience on this. The cost issues of leaving it not dealt with is a major, major concern. That's something you want to catch kind of early. So get Loose Air Quality in there, do their environmental testing for your home or your business, or call them at 904-803-1014. That's 904-803-1014. NBC Sports College Football Talk, man, straight calls out PJ Fleck, the head coach at Minnesota.
Wow.
And listen to this headline. P.J. Fleck doesn't practice what he preaches when it comes to commitment.
Ooh.
So P.J. Fleck is quoted as saying this. Says, I have a rule. You commit to me, you can't go see another place, Fleck said.
Okay.
Not because I'm insecure, but if you want to be committed, you're going to be committed. Too many people teach young people to be committed, but also 1 foot in and 1 foot out. You've got to be all in. Or as Fleck termed it, we have a problem in our society. We don't have a problem in our program. Well, College Football Talk goes on to point out that in 2014, Fleck signed a 6-year contract extension as a head coach at Western Michigan, and less than 2 years later, he took the Minnesota job. So he committed to a 6-year contract with Western Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
2 years into it, bailed on it.
Okay.
I think it's fair. I think it's completely fair. Like, if you're P.J. Fleck and you want to make a statement like this, okay, number one, you're not Alabama. So if somebody gets offered by Minnesota, like, damn right they better be looking around.
Yeah.
Like, if Nick Saban says this, he's at the top of the food chain. If you get offered by Alabama, he can say that.
Yeah. So you're hating on PJ Fleck for what he said?
Yes.
Or are you?
Yes. It's just in general, it's just like, I don't hate on coaches leaving because it's an advancement. And I don't even hate on coaches thinking like this, like in their mind. But to say it?
They all say it.
In not theory, like this.
No, I'm saying like Tag is not publicized.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't said it, but it's known that they're trying to, and everybody's called it the Clemson philosophy. And like Clemson, when you commit to Clemson, you don't take other visits. They'll tell you don't commit if you're unsure. Still go visit. We're still recruit you. Just don't commit.
Right. I understand that.
I get that. Like, and that's the, you may lose recruits like that because you're not Saban, because you're not Dabo.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I fully understand because I 100%. Coaches can leave whenever they want to, and I believe that's one of the many things that the NCAA can fix for athletes. But, you know, they don't. And there are some rules, like we were talking about that I didn't realize. Like if a coach leaves, they can put certain distinctions on certain players that they can't, like especially in the incoming class.
Mm-hmm.
Like that person's free. They're in a, like we're going to make sure they can get out of their letter of intent. But I don't have an issue with what he said. It just means when you're getting recruited by Minnesota, don't commit. You should know what's going on.
Let me take it a step further then. And I mean this when I say this. If you're going to come out and you're going to say that, or in Florida State's, and I'm just using Florida State because you used an example, then you know what you better not do?
Leave.
No. You better not take a kid who's committed somewhere else. Because that kid, he's got commitment problems.
Oh, yeah, they all. But, again, it's a.
No, you see what I mean?
Yeah. It's very much so a.
When it works for me.
When it works for me type thing. Like, like Clemson. It was known that, you know, they were still, if they could get Akeem Dent to entertain them, they would have took his commitment. But had it been the other way around, and Akeem Dent was committed to Clemson and he wanted to go to Florida State, think about Florida State, they would have pulled a scholarship. It's just one of those things. Like maybe he feels the space that he's in with the type of kids that he's recruiting, he can do that.
No.
I don't think it's right.
No, I mean, the whole thing to me. I've always thought that part was weird. Like, okay, so you're going to tell me, and I get why they do it. And if I was a college coach, this may sound hypocritical, but I'd probably be the same way of like, okay, if I'm going to offer you, don't commit till you're relatively sure.
I
get that. But it's that next part. Like, then they will actively go and recruit a kid that's committed to Florida or a kid that's committed to Alabama or a kid. They all do it. And what you're telling me is, wait, you're telling kids – that it's a bad example to set, and it's a bad way to live your life to commit to somebody and then go. But you're willing to go take a kid who's doing that?
Coaches are hypocritical in every aspect of things. That's why it's an unfair game. But you just have to, you know, play it how it go. But I mean, I can understand. I understand your space. I understand PJ Flex thing. But if you're gonna call him out, you got to call literally every coach that does that. And Nick Saban, whether right, wrong, or indifferent, whether he can or he can't, Nick Saban is not the person to say that either, because Nick Saban is the one who not only left LSU in the dark, he also left the Dolphins in the dark while repeatedly saying, I'm not going here, I'm not entertaining anything.
And that's why I'm saying this, is you just don't say it.
That's why I think Saban's learned his lesson of opening his mouth, why he'll lie and say, I don't have an opinion or I don't know stuff is going on when we know you know what's going on.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. PJ Fleck is one of these high energy guys that, like, and he does a good job. He's very good coach, very good X's and O's coach, very good recruiter, all that kind of stuff. And he's probably going to end up the head football coach at a major, major program. Not that Minnesota is not a major program, but he'll end up in the SEC. Or ACC, or wherever he wants to be one day. It bothers me when guys make definitive statements like that in that profession. Like, I know how this game works. And you're sitting here saying a definitive statement like that, knowing that you left that interview and one of your coaches, while you're doing the interview, one of your coaches is texting a kid that's committed somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that. Just shut up. Just don't do it. Just don't even say it. Just, you can think it and you can say it to the recruits coming in, but don't go to Minneapolis Star Tribune and say something like this when you know, as you're saying it, you're being 100% a hypocrite. It just doesn't make any sense to me. Like, what did he think he was going to accomplish by that? He's going to have some parent get behind him?
No, it's just, you know, I'm sure he got some Minnesota fans and some other people saying amen to it. And
okay, Minnesota fan, if you said amen, then
but it's the same
don't applaud
that,
when a kid
it's comes just
over
always
from
what I always joke about. It's like it's the same culture that it's easy to blame the younger generation for the problems that the older generation set. Like, it's not the same where you work the same job for 40 years. You get a watch at 25, at 25, and all these other things that happen. Like, people will work 1 week somewhere and accept a job, and then if the other job, but they applied for five jobs, if a job comes on that pays them $10,000 more, they're gonna go take the $10,000 bump. Like, we do it in every aspect, and you worked your whole academic career or your whole career to be able to have that.
It's
kind
fair,
of
yeah.
So it's fair. It's just for whatever reason when kids do what they see. So it's like your adults are telling kids, like, it's wrong, but I'm doing this in every aspect of my life. Just don't do that. But you don't get to do that.
Yep.
So, I mean, so I understand the hate, but if adults don't want it, stay at Minnesota. If you stay at Minnesota for 40 years, you have every right to do that, to say that.
It's fair. That's fair. When we come back, I want to get to this Ndamukong Suh deal.
Nice.
With the Bucks, there's something really interesting that I thought of as I was reading what he got from the Bucks, and it's Jaguars related. We'll get to that next.
You're listening to the Sports Den on 1010 XL.
Happy anniversary to you, man.
Appreciate it, man. Appreciate it. You know, it's a lot of hard work.
Decade,
man.
10 years.
It's a long time, man.
God bless her. 10 years. So we've been doing the show half of y'all's marriage?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Did you get her something from ThinMD?
No.
No?
She said she wanted something, but, I mean, I got to get her to commit.
What, PJ?
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
If you've got an anniversary coming up, there's no better place than ThinMD Med Spa. Get her a gift certificate. Like, if you really want to surprise your wife, there's a couple things you could do at ThinMD Med Spa. You could go shopping for her in there. Like, don't tell her she needs to go there and lose weight. That's a terrible idea. Just go get her a gift certificate. Or you could get your butt, I'm not talking about you, James, but
yeah, I was about to be offended.
You could get your butt in there and you could lose a little bit of weight. This is a nice gift. Get back in shape. Get back to your playing weight. Or maybe a good gift was, maybe things aren't working real well in the bedroom. Go to ThinMD, see Dr. Capasso. Say, Doc, I need some help here.
Yeah, that horny goat.
Dr. Capasso, he knows what he's doing there now. He can get you right. Go to ThinMDMedSpa.com. Go see Dr. Capasso. They got all kinds of services and products and all kinds of stuff. They'll get you right in there. Make sure you tell them the Sports Den sent you. Let me grab a phone call first.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because it's our boy. Yeah, we don't leave him holding. Jeff, what's up?
I think you're right. I think he's just shut his mouth up. They haven't gotten to the Big Ten title. I mean, I remember the year he won. He was only making about $1 million at Western Michigan. I think he should be glad that he had, because I remember he had about 10 players on the roster. In fact, the only thing Minnesota is known for is women's volleyball and men's hockey. And they're doing okay in softball right now, but they're probably about to get their butt kicked by LSU, who's a lot better and stuff. And, you know, Florida State lost tonight in the softball game, but I think tomorrow they win, and then they win the day after. And thank you, guys, and have a good night.
Appreciate it, Jeff. Jeff coming in strong with the Minnesota stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff is a walking sports encyclopedia. Convinced that anything we talk about, he could weigh in on.
He should get into this.
Jeff's the guy that you want, like, on your team on trivia night, like at the Wings place. That's the guy that you want on your
team.
That's
true.
Very good point. Very good point. Yep. Ndamukong Suh is signing with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And his deal is a year for $9.25 million. Ndamukong Suh's a proven player, right?
Yeah.
Really good player, right?
Really good.
He's going to come in, he's going to help the team without a shadow of a doubt.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to point out at this time that he's getting less money in a one-year deal than what the Jacksonville Jaguars gave Dante Moncrief last year.
In their defense.
Go ahead. Can't wait to hear this.
Dante Moncrief came in with the expectations. One, it was a prove-it deal. With the expectations that he would be a number one wide receiver.
A $9.5 million prove-it deal?
You're saying Dante Moncrief got more than Ndamukong Suh?
Yes.
It was supposed to be like if he did it, they would re-sign him for longer if it worked out.
Okay. So why give him that much money?
Moncrief?
Yeah.
Because that's what he was going for in the market. There weren't very many number one wide receiver types. There are. I mean, I think Tampa Bay was probably looking at it. He's cheaper than what they had. The guy he's replacing.
Yeah, they were paying $13 million.
So I mean, that's really they just got devalued.
That's what I'm saying is they're getting a hell of a deal. What I'm saying is the Jags butcher. Do you want to know how much Dante Moncrief is making this year?
How much?
$5 million. Half what the Jags gave him. Half.
Because he didn't do what he didn't. He obviously didn't prove it.
Bro, when has he ever proven it?
It was just a thing where the Jags were in a situation where they needed it and they thought that he would be able to take them. He would be the guy who could take the top off of a defense.
So here's Dante Moncrief's salary history. $963,000, $525,000, $615,000, $1.7 million, $9.6 million, and now $5 million.
And then the Jags had it. It was just
– one of these don't belong.
You're right. I mean, I'm not saying that it was smart. It was just – what they thought. They thought they got something. They thought they were smarter than what they were. And it proved that they weren't. And Ndamukong Suh is kind of, he's older now. He, what was it, 2009 when he came in the league? So he's a decade in now, right?
Yeah.
I
wonder what he made last year.
And he's a guy who's willing to travel and play year to year. And you know, you can get quality reps out of him.
Let's see what he made last year. I just thought that was weird.
He made, he's probably making more now than he made in L.A.
You think?
Just by straight taxes.
Oh, yeah. That's what you're saying.
He might have been willing to say, like, you know what? I could fight for the 13.
Ooh.
What did he make last year?
14 and a half.
Yeah, so he made 7 last year.
His, man, Ndamukong Suh's made some money. He made $140 million.
He's somebody that you don't need. Like, he'll probably get the same amount of sacks that Gerald McCoy has been getting. And that would be what you expect from him. Gerald McCoy was more of a 3 technique, if I believe correctly. He wasn't a nose. So what's going to happen is Ndamukong Suh is going to command the double team, hopefully. That's what you hope. And he's going to make the Vita Vey, who's who they got, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to make Vita Vey. You're going to hope he's going to make Vita Vey better. They had the exact same player. Vita Vey was a younger Gerald McCoy.
Yeah, I mean, he's made a lot of money. I think Ndamukong Suh is a great player. That wasn't my point. And if they can get him for 9.5, which they did, then great for them.
He's a terrible person on the field.
When the Jags signed Dante Moncrief, we said then, what are they doing? $9.5 million for a dude mm-hmm. that's got like 8 catches?
Yeah. I mean, they also you could say they overpaid Marquise.
What's Marquise making?
And Marquise was making close to that too, wasn't he?
Well, he's still under contract.
He just signed a longer deal.
Yeah. Let me see what he's making. Yeah, you got me curious. Would I spell Marquise wrong?
M-A-R-Q-U-I-S.
Oh, there's no E?
Maybe there's an E. I don't know.
No, I tried an E, so maybe you're right. Marquise Lee. Try that. Are they not paying him? Let's see. Oh, here we go. Oh, there's no U. It's M-A-R-Q-I-S-E. Marquise.
Wow.
Let's see. Last year, 9.25. So a little bit less. This year, 7.25. Well, he's got to do something this year. He ain't going to see the back half of this contract. Because after this year, they've got an out.
I believe he's primed for a good year.
I hope so. They need Marquise Lee. I do too. If they can get good contribution from him and the rest of these guys can do anything, like if Conley can just literally just stretch the field, if DJ Chark can just make 45 catches, have 45 catches, if Keelan Cole can do anything at all, he's like a free agent because you almost forget that he's here. They've had terrible luck with receivers and health, by the way. And somebody asked us on the Duval Ford text line, how's the receivers looking? I don't know. I mean, it's like, it's hard to really tell. You really can't tell much. Conley stuck out the first day, Tuesday, and really there wasn't a receiver that stuck out today. I mean, DJ Chark looks bigger, which is good. But I don't know. They got like this Wes Welker looking cat, something Walker, who looks good, and it's like Welker Jr.
Wes Walker, yeah, as exactly. Opposed to Wes Welker.
I actually want to see his name because I've seen him make a couple catches, but I don't know, maybe against like the 89th man on the roster. Yeah, that's what you don't know.
Cut bait.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's hard to tell.
He's got to take DJ Chark's position as gunner and bullet. Make this team.
He's tiny, bro.
Oh, well, that ain't, I mean, I'm just trying to tell him how to make the team, dude. Like, I mean, listen, you got to play special teams. You're that far down the depth chart.
Yeah, I'm looking him up now to see what they've got him listed at. Let me see. Hold on. Trying to see. I'm going to look at this roster to see if there's anybody that I've just completely overlooked out there. Let me go scroll all the way down to the W's. Michael Walker. They've got him listed at 5'11", 194. He ain't 5'11". He looks like he's like 5'9". He's from Boston College. Rookie from Boston College.
From Boston? I don't remember him.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know what? I may get in trouble for saying this. He may just stick out because he's a small white guy out there running around.
You can say it. I can't.
I'm going to leave that option open right now. That's the reason why.
I got zapped last time I said something like that.
Well, I noticed. I don't see if there's anybody else that, like, Tanner Lee's throwing the ball well. It really is nice to see, and I said this at the break to you guys, it's nice to see quarterbacks fitting the ball into places, like throwing it to guys who are pretty well covered, but putting it in only spot where they have a chance at it. We haven't seen that in a while. I've seen Nick Foles do that several times through the first 2 days. Yeah, I'm not really seeing anybody else that.
Oh, he's a return man.
Oh, is he?
Mike Walker. I'm trying to find his stats. Oh, wow.
Over 1,000 return yards? So in one season?
He's White Richard. Might make it.
I don't know. If he had over 1,000 return yards, didn't score a touchdown?
If he could field a punt, man.
Wait, what did I say his name was?
Michael Walker.
Okay, yeah, here he is. Oh, and he's even got Rashard's number. Number 13, right? Is that when, wasn't that what Rashard was? Yeah, I don't even have a biography for him. I'm on the Jags roster on Jaguars.com. They don't have anything for the man. Can we at least get a biography for the guy? It says biography, and it's got a Pepsi ad.
Private school making that bread.
Got all these employees, man. Just somebody make something up for Michael Walker. He's a coach's kid. I don't know if he was or not, but just make it up.
First man out, last man to leave.
Yeah.
Great effort.
High football IQ. Shifty. Runs good routes.
Quicker than he is fast.
Mm-hmm. Technician. See, we just wrote his biography for you. Oh, actually, we gave me a scouting report.
Yeah. I mean, 1,000 return yards is...
It's pretty good, right? Yeah.
Think?
I mean, I don't know. Who would you compare that to? Like, who's Florida State's return guy?
DJ
Matthews?
Yeah, I don't know if you watched any Florida State games. People didn't punt a lot. Got a lot of kickoffs, but I don't know how many were returned.
Let's see. Just so we have an idea here, let's see. DJ Matthews stats. He only had 257 return yards? Okay. So I guess that is pretty good then. 1,000?
Man, 1,000 anything is good.
You would think. You would think. All right, well, we're going to come back. We're going to wrap up the Thursday night edition of the Sports Den right when we come back. I tell you the difference between me and them.
You're listening to the Sports Den on 1010XL.
Almost Friday. 3-day weekend for a lot of people. St. John's County, I think, gets out of school tomorrow.
Yep. Early.
Well, this year flew by. I got a senior next year, man. I'm getting old. It's crazy to think about. Crazy, crazy to think about.
Man. I'll go to the graduation party.
To our graduation party?
Yeah, if you invite, you don't have to give it. You don't have to give us graduation tickets.
We weren't.
Just making sure you know.
I don't want to be at anybody's graduation. I got you there, man. You bringing a gift?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure, he makes more money than I make, though.
Now, this is crazy, man. School's out almost. It feels like it's already August outside.
It's gonna be a hot summer, or it's gonna be one of those where are you gonna get the boots out and go check people's roofs again?
No,
like you were doing for like 3 years.
No, we don't have any roof sponsors anymore.
Okay.
No. I hope it's not a big hurricane year. Is it supposed to be?
I mean, they're preparing for it. When it's this hot, this early, you know the tropics are going to be active.
That's
nice. My family will start calling me for random reasons.
What do you mean?
Like, are you okay? I'm like, dude, don't call me unless it's a Category 3 or higher. I mean, Category 3 now, because that last one kind of spooked me a little bit.
Mm, yeah.
I might get out of here if it's Category 3. Like, when Trey kicked me and woke me, and it woke me up right when the thing hit.
Oh, yeah.
And I heard the wind. I heard the wind, and I'm like, oh man, I should have left.
Yeah, I'm in a good neighborhood for that.
All this construction pushes all the water now. Like before, we were in a no flood zone.
Oh,
but now all the construction has made our area flood destination. I can't even enjoy a cigar anymore.
Put on your waders. 626 must have been listening to us at the break somehow. He says, is Baselli's kid going to be on the Noles this year? I thought I heard something about him walking on. Yes.
Yeah, he walked on. I mean, I hope it works out for him. He's quality. He had a mean streak in high school.
He was, he was good, man. He was good. He was at Providence when I coached there. Not when he graduated, I don't think. I don't think I was there then.
He went to Episcopal.
Yeah, that's right. He did go to Episcopal. But he and David Sharp are right next to each other at Providence.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. We just pretty much ran everything over there.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good for him, though. That actually, I think that says a lot about how much he's matured, too, is that, hey, I want to come back and I realize I'm going to have to walk on to do it. That's pretty cool. Hopefully it works out for little Bo. Hope that works out. Anything special this weekend you're doing, just other than the birthday party?
Go out to eat. Go to dinner on Saturday. Check out Blue Bamboo. My boy Dennis over there. Awesome chef. If you've never been there, you got to go check it out, man.
It's I went there with you.
Yeah. I was just saying, telling our people.
Oh.
Just ABC and chilling, baby. Go. I got a package coming in from thehumidor.com. I definitely put Sports Den in so I get my 20%. I'll probably be, I think we're going to get a, I'm going to crack out the slip and slide and try to get piss off the HOA. I haven't done that in a while. So my pockets were a little light with fines. So like now it's time to, you know, put it out and invite all the neighborhood kids to come over and slip and slide. Maybe 4th of July, I'll buy the big old bounce house again.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm
remember I wrote that fake article? Yeah, people, like, I put it on Twitter. People really thought, like, that I cussed out security guard.
Yeah, I'm not doing much, man. It's like, this is a big training weekend. Kids getting out of school because everybody's getting ready to go to these camps now. Mm-hmm. These one-day camps. I'm ready for all that to be done, but I think I'm going to shut it down a little bit early on Sunday and take Sunday and Monday with the fam. But summer like, just drag. I know for my wife it flies by because she's a teacher and she's at home. But for me, man, like, these next 2 months just seem like they take forever.
Yeah, it's going to be – I mean, I'm getting a ton of one-on-ones.
Yeah.
And then we've got, you know, 10 a.m., we have our scholarship class. In the middle of the day, all Americans. I mean, I like the summer because you get a chance to see a lot of these kids and a lot of them develop and get better. But man, it's a good amount of work.
Yeah, it's a grind.
And then on top of that, having nighttime radio.
Yeah.
At least I don't have to wake up and take the kid to school anymore.
Yeah, that'll be interesting for us this summer. This will be our first summer doing 5 nights a week on top of our normal job. Y'all may come in here and hear us snoring some nights, but that's all right. It's all right. We can handle it. We'll see you guys back here tomorrow night, and then we will be off on Monday. But we'll be back here tomorrow night for the Sports Den, brought to you by ABC Fine Wine and Spirits, coming to you from the Thin MD Med Spa Studios and presented by Southeast Orthopedic Specialists. Make sure you join us, and then you'll have 3 days to listen to the streams. You have 3 days to catch up. Spend Memorial Day with us doing that. Put us on at the barbecue. We'll see you tomorrow night.